We go to God's word this morning in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, and we read one verse together, verse 7. Proverbs 4 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. If you are there, can you just wave your hand? With the electronic Bible, there should be no problem with it nowadays. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Let's read together. To read. Thank you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In all your getting, get understanding. We'll be sharing today, and I believe by the grace of God next week, on the theme, wisdom, the principle. Wisdom, the principle. At least I know of one person here, perhaps there are more, who are principals of secondary school. The person that I know that is here, I know a few years ago, she was one of several vice principals. But today, she's a principal, having vice principals under her. What I'm trying to drive at is, in any school, there's only one principal. So when the Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing, it means it is the highest, most to be desired. Every other thing cannot compare with it. Can we say wisdom, the principal? Let's shout it loud. And you see, even in that verse, it talks about understanding. So there are three words that relate together. They are very related, but they mean different things. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge makes you aware of facts. And you can be aware of facts by information, that is by reading and studying, by listening. You can be aware of facts by experience. How many people have burnt their fingers before? I'm talking not literally now. You have done something that you regret. Wave your hand. Haven't you learned? Nobody needs to tell you. So you have learned by experience. So knowledge can be by information, can be by experience, it can be by revelation. Revelation is not something you do not read, that you just know, because the Holy Spirit reveals it to your heart, especially to us as spiritual beings. So that is knowledge. Understanding is now interpretation, appreciation, and comprehension of that fact. You may have knowledge that you don't understand. A child sees fire burning. He knows the fact that there is fire. He doesn't understand that if you touch it, it will burn you. So, knowledge is not enough. You need to understand it. You need to know the relevance of the knowledge. You need to comprehend the knowledge. You need to appreciate the knowledge. And finally, wisdom. Wisdom is the correct application of that knowledge which you have understood. So it is wisdom that gives you a deliverable. Have you seen people who are very knowledgeable but unwise before? If you have, wave your hand. They know so many things, but they are unwise. Have you seen them before? Raise up your hand if you have seen them. So knowledge on its own, it's not useful. The Bible says knowledge puffs up. Is that in your Bible? But when you understand knowledge, it should now define what you do. It should influence your behavior. It should be reflected in your day-to-day life. So that's why we said knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. This main text that we are considering says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. But in all you're getting, get understanding. You can't have wisdom unless you have gotten knowledge that you understand. Are we still together? And so, we are talking about wisdom being the principal. But there are many types of wisdom. And we need, as spiritual people, to get it clear that there is wisdom and there is wisdom. Can you say there is wisdom and there is wisdom? First type of wisdom I would like to share is natural wisdom. Natural wisdom. You are not taught. It's just innate. It is in you from birth. That's why a baby that is 3 hours old, the mother takes her to the breast, put her mouth there, and she sucks. Who taught her? Nobody. It's natural. Natural. Natural wisdom. Number two is intellectual wisdom. That is the ability of the mind to comprehend. Ability of the mind to comprehend. That is what you can develop by reading, by studying. You can develop your intellectual wisdom. Number three, practical wisdom. The practical wisdom gives you enablement to act and do things, especially with your hands. You see some people, they didn't go to school. But when they fix your plumbing work, they are very excellent. Have you seen them before? They have practical wisdom. They can use their hands to do many things that you who has gone to school and you have had masters and you have mistress, you cannot do. I just remember that my pastor, when I first got born again, was talking about this, and he said there was one, was it a mechanic or a plumber, that was battling with a matter, and everybody was watching. And when he got it, he said, "This is beautiful nonsense." So sometimes when you get a breakthrough, you just say, "This is a beautiful nonsense." He didn't go to school, but he can work with his hands. So we have talked about natural wisdom, intellectual wisdom, practical wisdom. Then we are ascending now. Next is carnal wisdom. Carnal wisdom. Carnal. First Corinthians chapter 2. I'll read verses 4 and 5. First Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Verse 5. "That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." See, Paul writing, "When I came and I did things in your presence, I spoke to you, I preached to you, I didn't use my human wisdom. I did not ask you to believe because of the wisdom of man." So man has his own type of wisdom. I'll read another scripture before I explain. 2 Corinthians now. The first one was 1 Corinthians. Now 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 19. And I want us to read it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. All of us will please read together. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. Please read. Okay, it's 18. Okay, can you read? Second Corinthians, is that what you are reading? It ends at 18. Okay, the scripture I want to read, I may have gotten the reference wrong, says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness." The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. So who has gotten the reference? Bible scholars. Is it 1 Corinthians 3:19? No, who has located it in the Bible? Chapter? Okay, thank you. God bless you. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 19. Let's read 1 Corinthians 3:19. Are we ready? Two, let's read out. So when I say carnal wisdom, I'm referring to the wisdom of man, the unregenerated man. You know, if you got born again at 25, you have been living for 25 years. before your spirit became alive to God. So you are a man. You have wisdom. You know how to do things. So when you now get born again and you still do things the way you used to do it without considering God, that is carnality. In that passage, before that verse, Paul describes three categories of Christian: natural, carnal, spiritual. The natural one is the one that is not born again. The carnal is born again but behaving as if he's not born again. The spiritual is born again and behaving as if he's born again. So a carnal Christian is a Christian who has the Spirit of God but neglects the Spirit of God. Gets annoyed like everybody gets annoyed. Speaks like everybody speaks. Things like everybody speaks is said to be carnal. That's another name for flesh. The flesh is man unregenerated. It is meeting with the Lord Jesus that regenerates us, that makes us to start to think like God, to start to understand God, and to start to desire to please and obey God. So a carnal God. So here, Paul was telling his audience, there is wisdom of the world. Are we here this morning? Have you ever been told before, use wisdom? When you are in a difficult situation, have you ever been advised by people who love you, Christians? Use wisdom. If you have been advised before, what they are telling you is, why must you obey the Bible? You see a problem and you have seen a solution. Why don't you apply that solution? That's wisdom of this world. The Bible says it is foolishness with God. It is crafty. You want to do things. Carnal wisdom makes you to do things to fulfill the lust of the flesh, regardless of God. I will do things, I will sin now and repent later. Have you heard that before? So that's carnal wisdom. The Bible says it is foolish. It doesn't end well. Next is demonic wisdom. James chapter 3, verse 15. James chapter 3, verse 15. Let's read it again together. James chapter, because we need to understand when we're talking about wisdom, the different categories and types of wisdom. James chapter 3, verse 15. Are we there? James 3, 15. Please read. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly. It is sensual, it is demonic. From this scripture, you will see that demonic wisdom cannot come on its own. It must latch on to something. It must latch on to carnal wisdom. Demon means satanic, devilish wisdom. It will come, but it cannot land in your life. It cannot be profitable. It cannot work in your life unless your flesh receives it. You are welcome, Satan. So if you are always in the spirit, you cannot use demonic wisdom. But we fall into the prey of demonic wisdom when we slip into the flesh. I will give an example. You don't need to turn to it. You can check it later. 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. The first son of David. His first son of David, his name is Amnon. A-M-N-O-N. Loved his half-sister, Tamar. And it was possible in those days to marry a sister if it's not same mother. Abraham and Sarah were same father, same mother. Do you know that? Do you know that? So it was not illegal then. And so he was lusting after his sister. And he told his friend, the friend's name was Jonadab. And Jonadab said, you a whole prince, you want a girl in this land, and you can't get the girl. I will tell you what to do. Just pretend as if you are sick. Tell your father, your joint father, the king, send my half sister to come and take care of me, which was what he did. When the lady came, took care of him, prepared food, he said, bring the food inside my bedroom. In any case, he raped her. Demonic wisdom alighted on carnal flesh. And that was why he was not the, he lost the position as firstborn, first son. That's how he passed to number four, which is Judah. So, my dear brothers and sisters, demonic wisdom doesn't work. The devil can tell you to do something. If you go there, it destroys your life. It ends, it leads to death. So, I've talked about how many types of wisdom, number one? Number two? Number three? Number four? Number five? Number six now is divine wisdom. And that's what we want to talk about. We'll concentrate on it today, and by the grace of God, next Sunday. Divine wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches." Divine wisdom, like the name implies, is divine. It comes from above. It comes from God. And like we had in the series of teaching and the Holy Spirit in the JCS and in the Bible study last month, the Bible describes the Holy Spirit as the wisdom of God. So if we relate with Him, it can give us wisdom that is from God. The divine wisdom helps us to decipher God's purpose and accomplish it. All of us need to understand the need to fulfill, to have divine wisdom. That's what the Bible was referring to in our main text. Proverbs 4:7, talking about wisdom being the principal thing. It's not talking about natural wisdom, it's not talking about just intellectual or practical wisdom. Of course, it's not talking about carnal or demonic wisdom. It's talking about wisdom that comes from God, divine wisdom. And you and I, especially at these stages of our life, what we need most, the principle that we need, is godly wisdom, divine wisdom. It separates the men from the boys. It separates ladies from girls. It determines success. It helps you to fulfill God's purpose. It helps you to accomplish your destiny. It helps you to bring glory to God. So if there's anything you and I should desire, divine wisdom. We need it in our secular work, academics, business, career, in our finances. The Bible says in Proverbs 8, with wisdom dwells prudence. When you see somebody who is wise, he will manage his money. Two people can have the same amount of money. What he will accomplish with his own money will be different from the other person. Even as a student, even as a young person, as a woman, as a man. Prudence dwells with wisdom. And so, I would like to share areas where you and I need divine wisdom. Number one, in decision making. That is where you need wisdom. When you get home, go and read Proverbs chapter 8. You will see a conversation. Wisdom talking as if he's a human being. Telling you that I was with God when the earth was laid. There's nothing you can do without me. Just read Proverbs chapter 8. It will grant you more understanding when you get home. So, divine wisdom helps you in decision making. What is decision making? You have choices. 1, 2, 3. What choice should I pick? You are at a crossroad. That's why the Bible says there is a way that seems right unto man. Can you help me complete it? The end thereof is the way of death. So, you may have 3 choices to make in the office tomorrow, in your career tomorrow, investment decisions. Which one should I pick? That is when you need to have and ask for God's wisdom. It will make a difference between success and failure. Number two, another area you need divine wisdom is in problem solving. It is not all decisions that are problematic. But there are some decisions that you are called to solve problems. Are you here this morning? I tell people who are close to me, life is about solving problems, especially in leadership. If you are running away from problems, you can't succeed. They will bring problems to you. Oga, what do I do? Sir, what do I do? Ma, what do I do? And so you need to call on divine wisdom to solve the problem. I'm sure you remember Solomon, the king. He just woke up one day and saw people fighting in front of the palace. Two women, prostitutes. Each one had a son. They were sleeping in the same room. The son of one died because she slept on him. And she woke up, saw that her own son was dead, took the son to the other one, and, you know, so very confusing. No DNA in those days. There's no way you could know. A young baby, what do I do? That was a major problem to solve. So, okay, sure, both of you are saying you own the living child. Okay, let's equalize this equation. Bring a sword, cut the living child into two. You take half. The one with child that is, yes, let's cut it into two. The other one said, no, please don't cut the child into two. So you are Barawo. You are a thief. So that was how the problem was solved. Is that in your Bible? Problem solving. You need wisdom. Number three, when you are pursuing an uncharted course, it's good when you have graduated, you have done so many things, so you can rely on experience. I did it last year. This is the result I got, so I wouldn't do it again. But in a way, you have never gone through that path. You have just been promoted. You have just gotten a new job. Or even at work, you have just been given an assignment. Or you are just getting married. Or you are a new parent for the first time. Or your child is going to school for the first time. You have not chatted. You have just been hearing about it. You have not had that experience. You need divine wisdom. Especially post-COVID. It's a new normal. Things are different. We can't do things the way we are doing. You can't spend money the way you are spending money. You can't take decisions the way you are spending. Take decisions. You can't run your business the way you are running your business. Things have changed. There's a paradigm shift. So if there's any time the whole world needs divine wisdom, it is now. I said, when do you need divine wisdom? One, decision making. Two, problem solving. Number three, when you are charting a new course. Finally, when you are faced with opposition. Unfortunately, many people, when people antagonize them, when people fight them, when people resist them, they react. Wisdom does not react. Wisdom responds. Reaction says, do it because it did that. Response is, what must I do? Many, many times, if you don't want opposition, then you don't want to succeed. If you have not faced opposition before or resistance, can you raise up your hand so that I can kneel down and you pray for me? It will come on a daily basis. And you need divine wisdom what to do. Jesus was faced with that type of situation when he was asked, should we pay to Caesar? Should we pay taxes or not? He said, bring the coin. Whose picture is on the coin? Caesar. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Give unto God what is God. Wisdom. A woman caught in adultery. They were going to stone her. What said thou? If he said free her, they will say he was permitting promiscuity. If he said stone her, they will say, but you said you are Savior. He said, he that does not have sin, let him throw the first stone. When you are faced with opposition, It's not a time to fret. Are you here this morning? It's not a time to be angry. That's the mistake many make, and I was making. When you are calm and cool, God will tell you what to do. I will share one example, and then we'll pray. Are we ready to pray today? Many, many years ago, as a teacher, T.O., teaching in a university, I was teaching a course that was 100-level course. In my department, there were about 100 students, but over 300 attended that course. People come from the faculty, from outside the faculty. They just like to come for the course. So one day, exam was approaching. I said, yes, next week we are going to have a test. And it's a course, if you know my background, you know that it's the course, or it's either you know it or you don't know it. So people had cramped. This test was passed. And I discovered that exam was a few weeks. I needed to complete my syllabus. So I said, first, when I got to class that day, the place was full. Those who were not coming to class came for test. So I said, now we'll take lecture for the first 1 hour and then take my test the second 1 hour. They started doing like this. Have you done it before? Have you done it before? I started hearing shoes on the... And I said, everybody was fidgeting. They had crammed. They didn't want the cramming to disappear. So immediately I said, what is wrong? They said, and somebody was bold from the behind, just picked a song. Everybody echoed, all we are saying, give us our test. And I was their head of department. So I looked at them, Holy Spirit, I was newly born again. Over 300 students. They didn't want to take my test, and I want to give them, and they didn't want to hear my lecture. I need one. And the Holy Spirit told me what to do. So they sang for 2 times, and they were watching me to know what I would do. And I said, all I am saying, hear my lecture. They started clapping. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how they had my lecture and they did their test. Put your hands together for the Lord. I could have been angry as head of department. I could send them out. I could fail them. But the Holy Spirit told me what to do to diffuse the tension. I achieved my purpose. Everybody was happy. Let's stand up to pray. The Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 5. James chapter 1 verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, that is generously, without reproach, and it will be given to him. Can you pray, dear Lord, I need that principal thing, wisdom, in my work, in my academics, in my marital life, in my business, in my finances, in my home. Oh God, I lack wisdom. I do not assume I have. Please give me wisdom. You, dear Father, you, James 1 verse 5, when you get home, you please use that scripture to pray. I will read the scripture again. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproaching, and it will be given him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that you have given to us today. Lord, we confess, we admit that we lack wisdom. Wisdom to walk. Wisdom in our work, in our home, in our businesses, in our career, in our academics, in our social relationships. We ask from you, dear Lord, please give us generously. Help us to depend upon your wisdom and let it be reflected in our lives. Let us see that wisdom manifested this year, this week, as we go out from this day. All that anyone will meet, anywhere we will go, whatever assignment we'll handle, God, give us generously your divine wisdom.
We thank you, dear Father. We pray in Jesus' name.